Springer, check out the tie. That's my birthday gift from her. That's my birthday gift. How about that? Isn't that great? I told her, I said, you keep me looking good, and that's a challenge. That's a challenge. But what a Sunday to return. The return is all the sweeter for me. Because we got Linda and Donna are going to be sharing on the piano. Now, I'm not going to say who it is, but we've got folks that came up front because not only do they want to hear the music, they want to see them at this piano. If you've not received the blessing of the remarkable talent that the Lord has bestowed upon these two, then you have really chosen a beautiful Sunday. Brother Glenn, good to see Brother Glenn back here. This is a wonderful Sunday of the Lord to be here and to receive this very special blessing. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Donna. Can't wait. Now then, are there any parish notices to come? And I see Mr. Miller here.
I'm not quite sure why I got the note, but anyhow, the bowling for the new year, the bowling meeting is tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Olympic Lanes to get planned out for the new season. So.
All you that bowl or interested in bowling, you know, want to show up.
Thank you, Dick. Any other parish notices to come before us? Yeah, Susie. Alrighty, and in fact, you know, we're going to be sharing the passing of the peace here in a few moments. If the ushers could maybe put a basket at both of our entrance exits, if we could do that, maybe that'd give us a little basket that we could contribute to that, Susie. If there's a chance, at some point, I see Brother Larry heading out already. He's gonna go get us a basket. So yes, we want to get behind it. Thank you, Susie. Thanks for the alert. Any other parish notices to come before us? Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship. Thank you. Let us stand for the opening prayer, and please remain standing for the call to worship. Let us pray. Steadfast God of faith and grace, call to us now. Carry us out of our fears and doubts into the glorious message of your saving love and constant presence. Walk with us, O God, as we renew our faith, discern your call in our lives, and journey forth as disciples of Christ. Amen. Come, now is the time to worship.
Now is the time to spring forth in faith.
Give thanks to our God.
Sing of God's praise and glory.
Seek the Lord.
Rejoice in God's presence.
Come, now is the time to worship. Lift up your hearts and voices unto the Lord in praise. The opening hymn 514, stand up for Jesus. take this opportunity, welcome one another through the passing of the peace. At this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Good morning, children. I tell you, God is great and God is amazing. I was on my vacation and I got to be in touch with nature and things like that. And it just there's some things about God's creation that just absolutely amaze me. How many of you saw the moon last night? Did anybody see the moon? Ted did. Anybody else? Did you see that? One of the closest approaches to Earth. I'm telling you, I just took a pair of field glasses, not a my telescope. Don, I'll have to get with, Steve? I'll have to get with him and the guys sometime to help him refurb my telescope. I don't have it up and running. Didn't need it. Took field glasses last night. I've never seen it that good in my big telescope. Breathtaking. Well, here's one of the things I learned. I learned that the moon, and this amazes me, children, the moon, they say, weighs 8.1 billion tons. Well, that amazes me, but it amazes me even more. Where did it get scale that big to weigh the moon? It's got to be bigger than the one I got at home. Okay, so I'm just amazed by that. And then the other thing that I learned that you can put 1 million Earths inside the sun. Well, I'm amazed at that, but where'd they get 1 million Earths to put inside the sun? All this is amazing. And you're living in an amazing age where we're learning these things, right? These sort of facts. Well, I'm having a little fun with you. I'm not half as dumb as I look. Brian used to always say that, Bob. I'm not half as dumb as I look. The fact of the matter is I know that they didn't really have a literal scale to weigh the moon. And they really didn't have to cram 1 million Earths into the sun. What it is, as you know, as you children, you're going to know far more than me. You'll understand this someday, and you'll come and you talk to old Greg. You see me out on the street or something. Come explain it to me. Because what it is God has guided these scientists to have these sophisticated instruments with even greater sophisticated math that Dick Miller would probably understand. I can't fathom. But with mathematics and these instruments, that's how they determined that the moon weighs 8.1 billion tons, and you can stick 1 million Earths into the sun. Now, I can't prove it, but you know what? I take it on faith. You hear what I'm saying? I take it on faith. Because I believe these people and their witness. I believe them, that they're speaking the truth. I take it on faith. Children, you can take on faith. Take it on faith. The truth of the witness. Of the witness of the Bible. You can take it on faith. That they've witnessed to us that God is love. God is love. Jesus has witnessed to us that God is love. And I can give you some proof for it. Far greater than any scale. No measurements of earth, no math can calculate the depth of this love. Here it is. The cross. The Lord and Savior of all came to us in love. And love said yes to the cross. There you go. You want to see what God is like? You want to see it? Right here it is. You want to see and taste it? Come take communion this morning. Come take the bread representing the body of Jesus. Come taste the cup representing the blood of the Savior that in love, He sacrificed for us. Believe it, children. Take it into your heart and believe it. Let's turn to the Lord and give Him thanks for His love. Can we make a circle here? Alrighty, let's make a circle. That's a fine looking circle this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your witness. The witness of so many from cover to cover in the Holy Scriptures. Their witness of your presence in our lives, a constant comfort. And the greatest witness of all, that Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary. We believe that you love us. We see that love. We welcome it into our hearts and we ask that you let that love grow. And that we'll share that love with all the children around us, all around the world. For it's in Jesus' name, Creator of heaven and earth, we pray. Amen. God bless you, children. Now, I've got treats for you. Yeah, I've got treats for you. All righty, let's start. In fact, Allison's going to carry the mic, so I'll go ahead and start with her. But you know the drill. He's ready, isn't he, Mom? Well, sure he is. Hey, cool buddy. Hey, you get two. You go ahead and get two. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Some good choices. Excellent, son. Excellent. Wonderful. Just go ahead and pick two. Yes. Yes, you get another one. Yeah, you get another. There. Very, very good. Pick you two. Yeah, reach right in there. Don't be bashful. Go ahead and get you two. Yeah. There you go. Well, that's a good one. I didn't see that. Was that Tootsie Roll Pop? You better be grateful I didn't see that. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you get to keep one, and then you give another, and you tell them about the love of Jesus, okay? Give it to another person. Allison is going to help us this morning, aren't you, hon? She's going to carry the microphone for us, and you may return to your pews. If we have visitors, there you go, buddy. We have visitors' cards. We're prepared for hospitality here. We care about hospitality and church growth. We want to grow. We want to grow with you. And we want to grow to know you. So there's a visitor's card there in the pews. If you want to take a moment, fill it out, put your telephone on there. If you do that, you'll just drop that in the offering plate here in a little bit later in the service after the communion. We'll have offering. Just drop that right in the plate. And the ushers never fail to get me those cards. So I'll give you a call back. But right now, you see Allison here with the mic. This is known as the joys and the concerns here in our worship service. If you have a joy, it could be, as an example, it could be a birthday announcement, wedding anniversary. It could be a testimony of how the Lord of creation has given you guidance in your life or strength in your life. You want to lift that testimony up, raise your hand. Could be a concern. Maybe somebody you love is sick. You want to alert us to that, to lift them up in prayer. Raise your hand. Joys or concerns, raise your hand and keep them up so that Allison will bring you the microphone. That way we will all hear in the house. And I see Marianne back here.
I would like for you to keep Dee Howell and her family in your prayers for the remaining days. They have moved Dee Howell to hospice as of late yesterday afternoon.
Thank you, Marianne. Thank you. Our prayers go up to the Heavenly Father for Dee. And I saw Greg Kulwicki. Continue to remember Greg in your prayers, in his time of bereavement. Continue to remember Brother Greg. John, you want me to try to see if I can hear you?
Yeah. Just a joy in the Paul family. Rachel's our master.
Oh, are you ready to cheer? And she's here. Rachel is in the house. Raise the cheer. Master's degree. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Uncle John. Thank you. Thank you. Any other joys or concerns? Did I see? Right over here, we'll get right with you, Linda. Yes, indeedy.
Ask for prayers for Jeff Leary's mom, Carolyn McAllister. She had heart surgery on Friday. She's doing well so far, but continue with prayer for her.
Thank you, Shelley, for alerting that need for Jeff Leary's mama. And I want to also mix that with a thank you to Shelley and Steve. Shelley went ahead and got those bulletins done. And, man, Steve, you all had a busy weekend. I know you had an important trip that you headed out west. You didn't get to leave till 2 in the morning. Was that Friday morning? Friday, 2 in the morning. And look at the two of them are back here. How about that? Is that awesome? They are awesome. Yeah, Joy, maybe I can hear you. And then we'll get Linda up here. Thank you, Joy Klinger. Thank you. Now, see, that's what we're talking about, visitors. Now, see, Joy has alerted us. And I thank you for that, Joy. Yes, indeed. Remember Scott. My goodness, I'm sorry, Joy. Remember Scott in the passing of his mama. Yes, Linda.
I also have a prayer concern. I talked with Carolyn Schum Wednesday, and she's going in for her fifth hip replacement on the one hip. She's had 6 or 7 on her other hip. Hopefully, this will take care of the infection. And she said, Linda, if you could have your church pray for me Tuesdays when she's having her surgery.
Indeed, Linda. Linda, thank you so much. Sister Carolyn has been through so too much. She's been through too much, Linda. Been through too much. And I know we're a close community. I know you all do love each other. You remember each other. And that's what we're here for. Yes, Karen.
We're happy to have Betty Springer back with us this week after her little fall, but she is doing better.
And quite a bump there on the back of her head. Quite a bump. And here she is in worship, Karen. Karen, thank you for lifting her up. Thank you. Yes, Don?
We have some good friends, John and Joyce Swank. He was for several years pastor of the Lutheran Church over here. And John's been diagnosed with cancer. He's been told the diagnosis is, if he takes the chemo and so on, is 1 to 3 years.
Bless
so he needs
all
our thoughts, and especially Joyce. She's going through a lot of pain at this point.
Thank you, Don, for lifting him up. We pray to the Lord in the midst of his pain. He's got that pain added to this this tough prognosis. Thank you, Don. Thank you. Are there any other joys or concerns? Any other? We want to remember Nina Dealey. Remember Nina Dealey, who also is really, really wrestling with pain right now, a high level of pain as she battles cancer. So remember her. Thank you, Allison. Now I want to mix a thank you with a prayer concern. It is such a rich blessing to have Juanita here at the organ. Can we just, troops, can we just raise the praise to the Lord God? Praise to the Lord God. We do these playlists, you know, we do these playlists, and thank the Lord we have those. But like I was telling Linda Holden jumped in last week and rescued everything. There's nothing replaces either Linda Holden at the organ or now this morning Juanita Roberts. But what you need to, yes, you go ahead. But what you need to know is also that not only is Juanita here serving the Lord here at the organ this morning, but her husband, Harold, is in the hospital. He's still in the hospital. So we want to lift him up in our prayers. We keep him in your prayers as well. Let us turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Faithful God, loving God, reach out to us with your grace and mercy. Forgive us when we sink into sin. and when we too easily accept our shortcomings. Forgive us when we do not venture forth when you call us forward in faith. As we call upon your holy name, reclaim us with your mercy and grace that we may be your children, forgiven, renewed, and emboldened in the greatness of your living faith. Deepen that faith in us. For this we ask in the name of Jesus, who invites us to lift up this prayer from our hearts. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite us to stand together. This is a hymn to prepare us. One of those suggested, by the way, by the lectionary scholars. Let's stand together for 512. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. You may be seated. As I said, homecoming is all the sweeter for that which we are about to partake. This is just a blessing. Donna and Linda, we've been looking forward to this. Come share with us. Sounding good. You're sounding good.
Thank you.
Linda Holden, Juanita Roberts, did you hear those licks? I am telling you, you put to shame the artists of New Orleans. And that was some of the most, that is actually better than anything I witnessed on my entire vacation. It is so sweet to come back to that. Thank you. Thank you, folks. Thank you so much. And I'm telling you, I had some remarkable experiences on that vacation, though. I was telling Dick and Don Thursday, we witnessed out at the pond, Steve. We told Shelley. We saw a solid white this egret. It was a remarkable creature. I'm telling you, Dave. I felt like I had gone to. We didn't get to go to Fort Wayne Children's Zoo, but Lynn, I felt like I was at the zoo. I mean, I felt like I should pay admission for that. Saw that. Laura did. Well, she's the fisherman. So was it fisher person? Well, what in the world would be the politically correct term? I have no idea. Does anybody know? What would it be? I just go with fisherman. You know, you're not offended. Have you ever noticed that even at the Academy Awards, when it's a female actress, I'd say actress, they always refer to who, for some reason, in the masculine gender, actor. Well, she's the fisherman because that woman can catch the fish. And I went out a couple of times and I caught some mosquito bites. Yeah. That's about the length of my talent. It kind of reminded me of a story I shared with you years ago, about the Cub Scouts that had been out, and one little fellow was a city slicker. He was an urbanite, and he wasn't accustomed to being out in the country, Ted. And they were camping in the woods, and the mosquitoes were all over him. So the scoutmaster told them all, said, "Now let's get to bed. Now get in your tents real quick. You know, the mosquitoes are thick. So children, get into those tents and zip them up. Well, they did. They took the leader's advice. But Brother Warren, they got in there, and all of a sudden, there were lightning bugs, meanwhile, had gotten in the tent, and this little urbanite had never seen a lightning bug. And he yelled to his buddies, he said, "Hey, buddies, the mosquitoes are back, and now they're hunting us with lanterns." That's how trouble sometimes finds us. You know, you could be going along in the journey of life, and they're coming after you with flashlights now. It'll find you sometimes just like that. The storms of life can rage. We turn now to this pericope, which has meant so much for 2,000 years to the church, especially, by the way, to the church that was undergoing persecution. Listen to the words of Matthew and his witness. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. He had just fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, the miraculous feeding. After he had dismissed the crowds, Jesus went up the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. This witness of Matthew this morning has meant so much for 2,000 years, but especially going back to the historical context in which it was initially received. The church was under persecution. And of course, we've been through this before. You remember, you've discussed it in your Sunday schools. The very architecture of the church cries out all the symbolism of the boat, the vessel. Jesus is the captain of the ship. But all the imagery, all the symbolism, look at your pews, look where you are, look across the pews, across the aisles. These are the rowing pews. That's exactly what they are. They're the rowing benches and symbolism of the church. And there were times when, after perhaps a brief period of smooth sailing and a placid sea, just like that, the storms would strike. And the church would become under such persecution that there were fears that the church, that the boat would be destroyed, that the waves would swamp it and send it forever sunk to the bottom of the sea. And the sea, remember, in the mind of the ancients and their mythology, the sea is the source of the demons, the source of the powers of darkness. And so you see how powerful this testimony of Brother Matthew has been to remind them, Jesus walks on the sea. He walks upon the surface of the waters. Jesus is greater than the powers of darkness. Jesus is greater than the storms of life. And so when the storms of life are raging, Donna, Linda, we look to him and we get to join you in victory in Jesus, huh? That's beautiful. Didn't that just lift you? Whatever you're dealing with, maybe you're dealing with a hardship this morning, a hardship and a challenge. Did this lift you? It's a witness of the love that lifts. Because when Peter, you know, a lot of people criticize poor old Peter, talked about his failure. We were always talking about, we want risk takers, right, Ted? You got to be, and you're hearing that in your businesses too. You're hearing that at the workplace. We need risk takers. We have to have the right to fail in order to hit one out of the park, man. And so Peter got out of the boat. He says, Lord, if it's you, because here comes Jesus walking on the water, and they're terrified. They're certain it's a ghost. Surely only a ghost could do this. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. He said, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter says, well, Lord, if it's you, then command me to come walk to you on the water. Jesus says, come. And to his credit, Peter got out of the boat. And what did he do? He walked on water. He started walking on the water, coming towards Jesus. But here's humanity. Here's the good old, honest, non-glossy picture of the journey of life. He started out walking on the water, but what happened to him? When he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. That's part of the human condition. Don't be ashamed of it. You can't avoid it. You can't be removed from it. No one's exempt from that. When he saw the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. See, there you go, the human condition. Beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him. There's the love. The Savior's love lifts. And he said to them, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when Jesus got into the boat, the wind ceased and they all worshiped him. Surely you are the Son of God. This is a reminder to the church for 2,000 years, and to bring it right to our doorsteps, it's a reminder to us. You can have smooth sailing. You're walking on the water. You're hitting it out of the park. And then, boom, like that, the storm comes, right? And you get frightened, and you start to sink. And when that happens, there's one and one only who can lift you, and that's the Lord. So the lesson of the early church is the lesson for us, that when the storms of life are raging, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, that's a lesson that a Dr. Jack W. Baca learned as a young man. Don, he was an associate. He had a senior pastor. He was in college. And he learned the lesson from the witness of one of the senior saints, he called her, in the Presbyterian Church in Albuquerque. Her name was Mrs. Marion Van Vandemeter, but everybody just affectionately called her in the church and the community, by the way, Mrs. Van. And although she was advanced in years, she was there every Sunday. Each week she made a difficult climb up the steps and into the choir loft of the First Presbyterian Church there in Albuquerque, where she continued to serve. And she'd been in Albuquerque for many years. She came there as a young woman to be a nurse in the Presbyterian Hospital. She became a driving force in the medical community, and aided by her efforts, the Presbyterian Hospital of Albuquerque grew to become the largest health care provider in the state. And to this day, they have a statue of Mrs. Van as that young woman, the young nurse, right at the entrance of that famous Presbyterian Hospital in Albuquerque. Well, as I said, she was a driving force in the medical community, but she was also a driving force in her church. And that's how Jack Baca got acquainted with her. Young and full of idealism about what the church should be, he was sharing some of his ideas about the church with the senior pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife said, Jack, you need to go have a talk with Mrs. Van. So he sought her out, Ted, and he found her, and he started complaining about all the problems in the church. And she just sat there good-naturedly, and she smiled, and then she sighed. And then she said, Jack, I've been in the church a long, long time. I've seen about every problem there could possibly be in the church. And I learned a long time ago that if you fix your eyes upon the people and the problems of the church, you're not going to last very long in it. Because the church is never perfect. The church is never just what it should be or what it could be. And so she said, I learned a long time ago not to concentrate on the people and the problems of the church. You just have to keep your eyes on Jesus, Jack. You just have to keep looking at Jesus. And then you will have a strong faith, and you will have a wonderful life in the church, and you will bring wonderful life to everyone around you. When the storms of life are raging, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. One more story. This comes from years ago. the famous pastor, Brother Warren, the famous pastor, F.B. Meyer. It's about some advice that he gave to a sad, sad-looking woman that he met on a train. He encountered her on a train near a village that he was visiting. She recognized him. I said, F.B. Meyer was a famous preacher in his day. So she recognized him, and knowing that he was a pastor, she ventured to share the story of her pain. And she shared with the pastor that for many years she had a daughter with a serious illness that limited her and required her to remain at home. But in spite of any limitations in this daughter's life, she gave her mama unlimited joy. Her daughter was the world to her. Every morning, mama would make a cup of tea for her daughter. Then she'd go off to work, knowing that in the evening, when she returned home, her daughter would be there waiting for her. Well, sadly, the daughter's condition worsened, and she died. The grieving mother was now alone and miserable. Home wasn't home anymore. When Reverend Meyer heard that, he gave her some wise counsel. He said, when you get home and put the key in the door, say aloud, Jesus, I know you are here. And be prepared to greet him directly when you open that door. And when you light the fire, and I said this years ago, when you light the fire, tell him about what happened that day. If anybody had been kind to you, tell him about that. If anybody had been unkind to you, tell him about that as well. Just as you would have shared these things with your daughter. And at night, stretch out your hand in the darkness and say, Jesus, I know you are here. Some months later, he had an occasion to return to that community, and he ran into the woman again. Initially, he didn't recognize her. Her face radiated joy instead of announcing misery. As she runs up to him, she says, Pastor, I took your advice. I did exactly what you said, and it's made all the difference in my life. Because now, not just words, I know in my heart. I have faith now, Pastor, because I see it in my heart. The Lord is with us. And so, come what may, in the storms of life, I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. Jesus will never fail. Such is the love. Such is the love that lifts us from sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to the disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Likewise, after supper, he received the cup. And again, after he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, Drink all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The form of communion this morning, most of us are familiar with, but if you're a visitor, it's known as intinction. We're going to have two stations here with a basket of the bread representing the body of Christ, the cups representing the blood of the Savior. You'll just take that piece of bread, dip it into the cup, and then take and eat. But let me assure you, you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a United Methodist. The Creator God formed every child on the face of the planet. Everyone is valuable. All are his children. So all you say is yes. Come and receive the greatest love that the world has ever known. The ushers will assist you. So they'll make you comfortable. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. And they'll help you back to your pews. Juanita, the body of Christ. Juanita, the blood of Christ. Amen. And thank you, Juanita. Thank you for serving. Amen. This time I'm going to have John and Judy come forward. I'm going to have Dave come forward. And as I said, if you're a visitor, you are welcome. We encourage you to please accept the invitation to come forward. Thank you. everything we do in response to the one who first loved us. This time the ushers will assist us as we serve the Lord through our morning tithes as well as offerings. Let us pray together. Gracious God, your gifts are indeed great. Your works a wonder to behold. We thank you for the gift of your amazing grace as we return a portion of these gifts to you. Bless these gifts that our giving may become a beautiful message of your love and grace. In Christ's glorious name we pray. Amen. As you are more than familiar, the closing hymn is not in our United Methodist hymnbook, but the lyrics are going to be on the screen, and Don and Linda, I forgot my sheet, so I'm going to step down here, and I'll pronounce the benediction following this powerful hymn based upon the witness we just received in Scripture, the hymn, Love Lifted Me.
Yeah.
you to take a hand. These are the rowing, remember, the rowing pews. Take a hand of the neighbor now as we turn to the Lord for the benediction. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship with the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us all now and forever. Amen. Donna, thank you. Linda, thank you so much. Thank you.